Hello, and welcome to the Books for the Month podcast, a Shrewsbury High School radio book club for young adults who enjoy reading and talking about books. Our show is a production of Audio Journal in Worcester, Massachusetts. This program is funded in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind. Views expressed in this program do not reflect the opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or its volunteer readers. And welcome back to the Booked for the Month radio show. We are so excited to return to you with a new episode. Today, I am joined by
Marilena,
Charlotte,
Lucy,
Nishta,
Tegan,
and Asmi.
And I'm your host, Srigori Vangalam. Today, our theme is endings and new beginnings in honor of our seniors graduating and in honor of this being our last episode for this season. So just to start off this episode, I wanted to ask everyone here, what got you into reading? And this could be a variety of things. This could be a person, a book, a teacher, or maybe even a club or activity that you do. Does anyone want to start off?
I can start off. So I think what got me into reading was the Harry Potter books. I read them in third grade and I immediately got hooked. And from there, I started reading every day. I also was very inspired by my mom, who read to me a lot as a kid.
Yeah, I agree with that, really. I've been reading for a long time, and my mom has really encouraged that. My mom also is into reading, and she works at the public library in my town. I think one of the first books that I really got into was the Harry Potter series also, which my brother got me hooked on.
Speaking of brothers, what actually made me want to start reading was when I was a kid, my brother and I had a race to figure out like who could read first when we were super young. So I definitely, you know, wanted to compete with him. But what made me really love reading was my babysitter. She always just encouraged it. She encouraged my reading, my writing. And yeah, she's why I am here where I am today.
I honestly have no idea when I started reading. It's just been something that I've been doing like for my entire life, but Harry Potter was definitely one of the first few series that I loved.
My grandma got me really into reading. I remember she loves like murder mysteries and stuff, and she reads every day. She used to help me with like my reading, and she was like there the first time. I was like, oh grandma, I can read a chapter book. So she was like, she really inspired me to like read more, and I do it every day.
For me, I was like always into reading, but I really got into it like around seventh grade because me and my teacher, Miss Bellevaux, had like a challenge. And after reading so many books in like a month, I think it was like 35 or 37, I just like really started enjoying reading a lot.
That's awesome. And I see there's a lot of similarity with Harry Potter. So shout out to the author and to everyone that made that series possible. I think for me, I can think of two things. One was that in school, I'm not sure, maybe other people had this as well, but we had this monthly book reading challenge where we would have to read 10 books. And for every book we read, we would fill out this bucket on this chart. And if we successfully finished 10 of those challenges, then we got this medal at the end in this award ceremony, and all the parents would come in and be really proud. So that was definitely one thing in school. And then I also remember in fourth grade, I started the Boxcar Children series. And I think that series for me is what really made me interested in reading. I don't know. I think it was just such a comforting book, and it really opened me to the idea that you could find a home in reading and, you know, learning about other people's stories.
I also absolutely loved the Boxcar Children. That also really got me into reading. I forgot about that series, actually. That was such a good series. There were so many of them. I think I only read like half of them, though.
Yeah, I love those too. I think my mom used to read those to me when I was in like elementary school.
Yeah, and it's so funny because those books were written in, I want to say, the 1960s, and they still hold up today. I highly recommend them. I think that's what makes reading so great, is that these books could be written, you know, centuries ago, and they could still hold meaningfulness, importance to the readers today. So I think that's really awesome. All right. Well, I guess we'll get into today's theme. So our theme was endings and new beginnings. Definitely a lot of flexibility for what you could read within this theme. For me as a senior, I think it's especially meaningful because, you know, this will be my last time here, and just remembering all the things we've been able to accomplish together feels really good. For this theme, I actually read a book from Rachel Linden. She has a series of books within the same theme. So the book I read was The Secret of the Orange Blossom Cake, but she also has other books with food. One of them is like The Secret of Magic Lemon Drop Pie, a few other ones. It'll definitely make you feel really hungry when you're reading these books, because the author has a way with food imagery and really bringing those recipes to life, but I highly recommend.
So I read The Graduation of Jake Moon, which was written by Barbara Park. She wrote the Junie B. Jones series. I read this book, I think, when I was like in fifth grade. It's a very easy read, but I wanted to go back to it because I thought it was very fitting because us seniors are graduating. And so it's about basically this guy that lives with his grandfather who has Alzheimer's. So he basically learns to live with these like adult responsibilities while kind of growing closer with his grandfather.
Yeah. I finally finished The Hunger Games: The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, which I loved. I think it really fits the theme well as a prequel and has a lot of endings and new beginnings. And in English class also, I am reading Romeo and Juliet by Shakespeare right now, and that is awesome as well.
So for this theme, I decided to read Watch Me by Tahereh Mafi, which is a spinoff of the Shatter Me series, which is a really important book series to me because when I read it, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to write dystopian. And now I'm majoring in writing in college, so definitely very important for me. I also met the author at BookCon, and she was just so cool.
For me, I read Harry Potter as a freshman. The first book, like the way it ends, genuinely is what I'm feeling now, because it's like you're leaving school, and it's like, especially this club, it's like you're leaving home almost. And I think there's a line that Harry says at the end of the first movie. I know this isn't the book, but I cannot remember the quote from the book. He says, "It's not home, not really," talking about like his like home with the Dursleys. And I think that just perfectly describes like the way that this we're ending this season of book club.
I read The Chaos of Stars by Kirsten White. I absolutely love mythology, and this book incorporates Egyptian and Greek mythology. And there's a lot of new beginnings as this girl like moves to the US, and she meets this guy, and then like a bunch of other stuff happens. And I think it really ties into how like life can be complicated, especially as a teenager and like not knowing what you want to do with your life. And I think that really fits our theme.
Okay, so my book was The First to Die at the End by Adam Silvera. And so this book just reminded me of the theme because it's about like this service called the Death Cast, which basically tells you like when you're gonna die 24 hours before you're gonna die. And these two people meet for the first time, and one of them gets like the call for like death in 24 hours, and they kind of fall in love. So it's like their start of their relationship, but it gets cut off because the one of them dies at the end.
Wait, oh my gosh, I forgot. That's a prequel, right? Because Silvera has another book. They both die at the end. Both really good books, definitely heart-wrenching. I just realized I forgot to tell you guys about what exactly my book is about. So my book, The Orange Blossom Cake one, I'll give you a quick synopsis. So the main character, her name is Jules Costa, and she is a great baker, a cook, and she has this online social media show that she does with her friend, and they basically bring older like 50s retro recipes to life, and they, you know, have a lot of fun together. and they quickly catch the interest of this famous producer, and so they're gearing up to actually have a real show. But after working with the producer for a little bit, it turns out that the producer is only interested in her friend and not her. So suddenly, you know, she's without a show, something that's been she's been doing for years. And she gets a call from her mom to take her sister to Italy to show her, you know, their family's roots and everything. So she goes to Italy. And honestly, after this, it seems like a Hallmark story almost in a way, because her in Italy, her grandmother, her Nonna, lives there, and they have an olive farm. And basically, Jules needs to save the olive farm because they've been having a lot of financial issues. And there's a whole plot with like her childhood best friend, just a lot of different things. But I think what makes this book so great is that the heart of the book is the fact that the recipe of the orange blossom cake is missing. And what happened was that there was a rift between her grandmother and her best friend's grandmother. And so by the end of the book, we kind of have to go back into the past in order for the characters to move forward. I feel like that's what's so great about endings and new beginnings. Sometimes something needs to end for something to start. And I feel like that way it doesn't feel like you're losing anything. It feels like you're gaining something, and you'll always remember your memories and always have that with you. Does anyone want to talk about, you know, what they liked about their book or whether they would recommend it or not? I know I definitely would recommend mine, but I will give a disclaimer. You will feel very hungry, so maybe, like, you know, have a dessert, like, you know, have something with you. And definitely also try the recipes that the author provides at the end of the book. I've not gotten the chance yet, but I definitely won't be doing that.
So for the book, The First to Die at the End, I highly recommend it because I really love the aspect of knowing the ending but still, like, feeling the emotions at the end. Because at the start of the book, you already knew that the character that was gonna die is gonna die. But by the time you reach the end, it's still so heartbreaking because you've read this whole book and you knew it was coming, but it's still, like, so sad.
I really like my book. I highly recommend it. It's probably one of my favorite books I've read this year. If you're really big fan of mythology, I also highly recommend it. It's really sweet, but it's kind of complicated. It's kind of a romance, but I think it's just a really good book.
I said Harry Potter, and if you haven't read it, it is one of the greatest series that I've read, like, in my entire life. There is so much backstory with the characters, and the plot is amazing, and it fits the theme. I highly recommend this book.
So for my book, Watch Me, I thought it was really interesting because it takes place 10 years after the series Shatter Me concludes. I thought it was really cool because it kind of goes into this idea of a dystopian, like, mass surveillance state. And, you know, I think it's kind of relevant to some things going on right now. And it's always cool to see dystopian books that kind of parallel society.
So the book I read, The Hunger Games, The Battle of Songbirds and Snakes, I would definitely recommend it. I think that as a prequel, it was really interesting to see how... So if you've read the main trilogy, The Hunger Games, it centers around President Snow and his past and when he was growing up. And I think it's really cool to see how he grew from a child, really, into the villain that he became in the main trilogy. And I really loved it.
I would definitely recommend my book. It's the combination of being pretty sad, but also very funny. It also has a very interesting theme, and the relationship between, like, a young boy and his grandfather, which is very important.
How do you guys cope with reading, like, sad or tragic books? Because I know it can be hard, and definitely what Azmi was saying, like, even if you know from the beginning that this book is going to end in tragedy, you, like, can't look away. You know, you're hooked in, and you want to stay with these characters until the end. So, yeah, I was wondering how you guys deal with that, and maybe what you value from reading sad books.
I one time read the series where it was, like, fairy tales, but, like, really, really sad, and everyone dies at the end. So, like, there was this one where it's Gingerbread House, like, from that story, Hansel and Gretel. And so basically, like, Gretel dies, and then Hansel tries to go get her back from the underworld, and then he also dies. It was, like, really, really tragic. That was the whole point of the book. It was kind of interesting, but, like, I definitely cried. Like, it was, the whole point of the book is that it's sad, and, like, it's, like, a take on, like, a childhood fairy tale. That, and normally fairy tales work out for the better, but, like, it was just really interesting to see, like, when it doesn't.
For me, when I'm faced with, like, a really sad book, my example of this would be Sunrise on the Reaping, the latest Hunger Games book. I try and get someone to read it so then I can rant to them about it. My current target is my mom, because I know she is a Hunger Games fan, though she has not read the books yet. We'll never understand that one. But that typically works for trying to cope with a sad book, because if you have someone to talk about with it, talk about the book with, it's like you're kind of releasing the emotions that you're feeling with other people.
Basically, I used to avoid sad books. I used to only want to read very, you know, light things that made me happy. But now whenever I read one, like to the point where I'm like sobbing, like crying, I'm thinking, like, as a writer, oh my gosh, they're so talented. This is exactly what I want to do. I want to make other people cry. And I'm kind of trying to study their technique. I'm like, this was like emotional torture, but teach me your ways.
So I would say sad books are honestly some of my favorite books ever. I love them. I usually gravitate towards the kind of books that will just make me sit and stare at the wall for like 10 minutes after I finish reading the book. I remember that feeling that way after I finished reading the Harry Potter series for the first time, like you were talking about, Nishta, in middle school. And I just really love the books that make you think, even if they end sad.
I also try to avoid sad books a little bit because I feel like I'm somebody that feels things more deeply, but I also think that they're very important to read because it, like, expands your empathy towards other people's situations.
Yeah, I can think for me, I think one of the saddest books I've read is Me Before You. I've definitely talked about this book on the show before, but I think after reading that as well, I think sometimes reading sad books can be cathartic. Like, they kind of make you step back for a second and kind of, like, look around, open your eyes to, like, what's going on in your life, and I guess just, like, reflect more deeply on everything. I think after reading that book, even though it was really sad and I definitely sobbed for like 10 minutes after reading that book, in a way it almost made me renewed to feel happier. Like, I guess kind of wake up and start, I guess, like valuing each day more. I mean, obviously, and I feel like for me, like Marlene, I do feel really deeply when I read these books and I feel connected to the character stories. It's almost like after seeing all the pain and like the challenges that the characters have been through, it makes me more grateful for, you know, everything I have in my life and value that more. But yeah, I think that right now I've definitely been reading more happy books, but I think that sometimes a sad book can really help you and really make you feel better.
I think an underrated sad book experience, or even a show experience, is just finding a series that you can latch onto so deeply and these characters who feel like real people, and then finishing it. Because there have been times where I finished a series that I've loved so much that I've ended up crying because I'm like, no, what do you mean there's nothing left? But I think I feel that way about books, and I feel that way about high school because now it's over. But now I'm just realizing it's a privilege to feel things that deeply. And, you know, like, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. So
yeah, that's a really good point. Another question that I sort of just thought of when you were talking about that with endings and new beginnings, you know, when you're reading a book series and you've spent so much time, invested so much interest into characters, into a world, a series, and then suddenly, you know, the last book comes and it's like, I can't believe all these years are over. Like, I'm not waiting for the next book to come out. This is the end. Has that ever happened to you guys? And if so, how do you navigate, you know, moving forward? How do you feel? Like, would you want the book series to end there, or would you want the author to continue keeping the world alive through, like, spin-offs or prequels, sequels, things like that?
Okay, so I personally think that, like, experiencing, like, a series just being over after investing so much time is, like, so sad, but I also feel like it's better than having spin-offs because I feel like you value the series more if you think about it, as in you invested so much time into this and it's over now, so you can like be grateful for the experience you got. And I think continuing something excessively isn't necessary, but I think it's like really nice, you know?
For me, especially with like books I really love, like let's say the Percy Jackson series, I love what Rick Riordan has done with that. I love all the different like universes he's created. And for me, especially his series Magnus Chase, I wish he did like more with that. There's only 3 books, and I wish he did so much more. There's only like 1 or 2 spin-off books, and they're more like short stories, not like books. And it's kind of sad because that's my favorite series by him. Like, it's nice that we have those spin-off books to learn more about the characters, but I just feel that like sometimes some books do need like others to like latch onto them so you can like keep feeling what you're feeling with the first books.
I agree with that point. For me, that series was also Harry Potter. Harry Potter has been a part of my life for like since like 5th grade, 4th grade. So when I finished the last book and watched the last movie, I'm still waiting for more. I'm being so for real. I am waiting for like a new series, maybe about the Marauders or like the past, like just more about every single character. I don't think that feeling ever goes away as well. Like once, if you've invested so much time into a series, that feeling that you just want more from it, like not necessarily changing the plot or anything of the original series, but just more spin-offs and more backstory for every single character. I don't think that feeling just leaves, ever.
Something I'll say is, what's really brutal is when a series ends on a cliffhanger. Because I get it, I get what they're trying to do, and congratulations, now I'm gonna think about this at like 2 a.m. But one example of this I can think of is A Good Girl's Guide to Murder series. Those who know, know. I definitely recommend it. It's amazing. But the last book does have a bit of a cliffhanger. And I just remember I was thinking about it for days after. Like, I think someone talked about staring at the wall. Yes, I was definitely staring at the wall after that one.
To be completely honest, although I am very sad when I read a big series or something and it's over, it also feels very bittersweet, because if it's the end of the series for sure and this like there's not going to be another book or anything, it means it's how the author wanted it to end. That's how they wanted to leave it and close up the story and leave the characters in the past. And I think it's really beautiful to see how they paint that picture and leave the readers with it to think about. And one thing that I like to do after I finish a book series or a TV show is, like you said, just like talk to everyone I know about who's read it or watched it and what they thought about it and discuss it and what we thought about it and any cliffhangers or mysteries that it ended with.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely hard to end like series, but sometimes I even like delay reading the last book until like, you know, I've stopped being emotionally attached to it, just so it like doesn't even feel as bad. But I also don't think that there's any point in like continuing a series for the sake of continuing it. Like sometimes it just has to end at a good time, which is kind of why I like what J.K. Rowling does with Harry Potter. Like sometimes I know like she used to like randomly like reveal more information about the book series like on social media at random times, which I think keeps people hooked but also keeps the series where it is.
Yes, that's so real. I think one thing as well, going back to what Marlena was saying, I think that, yeah, some book series definitely need to end. One series I'm thinking about, I absolutely loved Keeper of the Lost Cities, but I know we're waiting for, like, book 10, and this series started in maybe, like, 2010, 2011, and, you know, all the people that started the book series at that time, it was intended for the middle grade audience, so, you know, anywhere from 5th to 8th grade, but certainly some of the readers are older. I think now that, like, 16 years into the future, everyone has kind of grown up and, you know, moving on. So I feel like with series like that, it's, we're still waiting to find out what happens next, but it almost feels like the series could have ended earlier, or that some of the books have had filler. So I do wish that, you know, sometimes I think it's necessary for books to end at a certain point. And I think also when books end, it doesn't necessarily mean that's like, you know, the end of it all. The readers can still keep the memory of the story alive. I mean, that's why we have things like Shakespeare Today taught in school. I mean, you know, that was made centuries ago, but people still continue to appreciate the story and also think, reimagine the story in other ways. That's why we have retellings and a lot of different pop culture things that we have today. I think that's also another beautiful way of kind of reconciling with this ending and making it a new beginning, making it the start of a new fandom, a new community, a new book series. All right, I think we will take a quick break and return in a little bit. Hi, everyone. We are back. So to end our last episode, I wanted to ask everyone, what has been your favorite part of, you know, being in this book club, being in this show? And I'll give everyone a second to think about that because it's a big question.
Maybe just like sharing my love of reading with other people. Kids our age, like at least in like my experience, they don't really like to read that much, and that's like really disappointing. So I don't really have many people to talk to about like my love of books. So it's been really nice to like talk to you guys about like the different books I've read, what you guys like. I think it's really great.
I completely agree with that sentiment that not a lot of people read as much today, because I remember this one time in French class and it was like, how many books did you read in the past year? And a lot of people were like, 2 books. And I'm like, I was at 200. So, and also just the people, like I made so many friends this year, just through this club specifically. And it's amazing just how a love for books can just bring so many people together.
So for me, Trigoria and Marlena invited me to this club my junior year when I was thinking a lot about college and what I wanted to do. And I knew I wanted to be a writer, but every time I told someone I wanted to major in creative writing, they said, well, that's not stable and you can't do that. But through this club and hearing you all talk about books and how much they matter to you and how they bring you together and how you've had all these core memories and experiences, these amazing experiences with book, I realized, oh yeah, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is exactly what I want to do. I want to bring people together like this. So it definitely inspired me to do what I'm doing now. So thank you all.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that being able to have this safe space to talk about books and talk about topics that I feel passionate about, it's really helped me think more deeply about the books I read and be able to see what it's like to be in other people's minds when in real life I can only be in my own mind.
So, I mean, I think this club is so special because it, like, creates time for reading. I know Shrigori pitched the idea for this club because we're all so busy and it's so difficult to find a time and just sit down and read. So this club really encourages us to do just that. And yeah, I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, to echo what Marlena said, I think it's been so special to see so many people passionate about reading just come together. It's been such a joy to see everyone grow and keep our love of reading alive, especially in a busy time like high school. But yeah, I'm so grateful that we were all able to come together for all of these episodes and focus on what matters most, what we all love to do, which is reading. But yeah, I think that's all that we have for you guys today. It's been so special sharing this podcast with you guys. We have been the Booked for the Month podcast, and we are signing off for this season.
The Booked for the Month podcast has been a production of Audio Journal. Our program has been archived and can be easily accessed by visiting the Audio Journal website at www.audiojournal.org. or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone or Android. Thank you for listening, and if you have any suggestions for our book club, please let us know by sending a message to info@audiojournal.org. Happy reading, everyone!